Welcome everyone that are out this evening. I know that many cannot be here for various reasons, and we know that we do have people online watching our service this evening. We're glad for your presence as well. Let's open up our Bibles tonight as we study once again from God's Word, and I hope that after this lesson tonight you will feel a little more energized in your service to God, and hopefully we can build each other up tonight. Thank you, Steve and Alan, for your confidence in me and allowing me to preach before you tonight. I really appreciate it, and I never take that for granted. Thank you. Ask yourself this. Have you ever had a situation where you've been doing something, and then 2 weeks later you see someone, and they go, "Yeah, I saw you back then, and I saw what you did. I saw you handle that situation." And you go, "I didn't know they were watching." You ever had that happen before? Or maybe when you were in school, someone that was younger than you was watching you in the shadows, seeing how you handled yourself. We talk about ways of teaching, and that's what we're focusing on this month in our theme of a church with a mind to work. And a lot of times when you mention the idea of teaching, people think, "Well, I can't do this. I can't do that." And what I want to encourage every one of us tonight is to look at ourselves very seriously and clearly and realize the fact that no matter what kind of talents we might have, every one of us as Christians can be a good example. You know, when you tell people about the Bible and you say, you know, this is how we're supposed to act and this is not how we're supposed to act, and then if they see you doing the thing that you said they shouldn't do, what kind of impact is that going to have on them? They're going to say he's a hypocrite. He doesn't do what he says. He talks the talk, but he doesn't walk the walk. A good example will show people in our lives many times without having to say a word. We read from Galatians 2:20, and I appreciate the good reading by Brother Jeff. "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." If we're living and being the good example we are, people are going to see Christ living in us. And that's the goal of each one of us, that as we live as children of God, that we can be those individuals who people can say set a good example. I like to look at four different things where we can be good examples. And once again, this has nothing to do with whether you can teach a Bible class, whether you can preach, whether you can do all these different kinds of things. Every one of us can do these things. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts, the 9th chapter, as we start our study tonight. In Acts, the 9th chapter, verses 36 through 42, we have an individual mentioned, this lady Dorcas. Some others call her Tabitha. And in chapter 9, verse 36, it says, "At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha," which is translated Dorcas. "This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they had laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them." This lady had done so many good works that when she died, the people came crying and showing, "This is what she did for me." She was full of good works. She didn't do like the Pharisees did, as we read about from Matthew 6, sounding a trumpet. She let her life be that example. And she was commended for that. But also turn with me, if you would, to Luke, the 21st chapter. And before I continue on, thank you, Steve, again for the PowerPoint. I really appreciate it. And I hope you do too, because it helps us to all follow along. But in Luke, the 21st chapter, we have a familiar story. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, 'Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of abundance have put in their offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had.'" Why was the widow commended? It was because she was doing all that she could. She had these small two mites, very little amount of money, but she gave it in love and service. And Jesus said she'd given more than all because she gave everything she had. In Acts, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 3, we know what this chapter is about. It's about the conversion of Cornelius. But I'd like to just focus on the first three verses as we talk about what kind of an individual this guy was. Now, we know he still had to do something. I don't want to let us miss that point. But it says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always." And we find out throughout the chapter that it was known, even among the Israelites, that this guy was a good guy. He was doing things. Now, Peter had to tell him there were some things that he still had to do to be obedient to God. But this was a good guy, and people saw that through his works. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew, the 25th chapter. As Jesus is talking about those that are going to be saved and those that are not, he talks about how we can show whether we are one of his. And beginning in verse 34 of Matthew 25, Jesus says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it to me.'" Helping those around us. Something we can all do in one form or another. That's how Jesus saw those that were his children. Because when they did it to those least of his brethren, they were doing it as unto Jesus. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew 10, verses 40 through 42. Once again, we sometimes think of all these quote-unquote big things, whether I can do big things in the service of God, and we forget what is really important. Matthew 10, verses 40 through 42. "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." Now once again, what's the point of this passage? Those little things that sometimes we think are just insignificant are not insignificant to God. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians, the 4th chapter. Philippians 4, verses 14 through 17. Paul talking about the church at Philippi, and he had very good things to say about them. And beginning in verse 14, it says, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know that also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Paul commended them for helping share in the expenses that he incurred as a gospel preacher. Well, today, what are we doing as a congregation here? We're helping support Larry Ping in a small way to help him as he works in Vincennes. No different from back then, we have an opportunity to share in that work. Once again, in works we can show to be a good example as a child of God. But also there's another thing that we can show, and that's the idea of speech. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians. I gave Steve the wrong passages. Colossians 4, verses 5 through 6. But if you turn to there, Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. Paul writes, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Now, this is one thing that really shows whether or not we're truly serious about whether we serve God, right? One of the frustrating things about going in the workforce is people that have foul mouths. And I hear hundreds of cuss words a day where I work. And it wears on you. A child of God should not be one of those individuals that people look at and go, "Man, you got a foul mouth." But our speech should be seasoned with salt. Have you ever seen someone who just talks as vile as possible and then they try and say that they are righteous or a religious person? What's your feelings about that individual? Do you believe them? Our speech is something that each of us can be a good example in. Turn with me to James, the first chapter. I'm sure some of you probably thought, okay, he's going to be going to James pretty soon. Yeah. We're going to go to James because James had something to say about the tongue. He says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Now, when we think about our speech, how many times do we get in trouble with our speech because we do not stop and think? Does it take any talent or any ability to just say whatever comes to your mind, the first thing that comes to your mind? No, but it takes discipline to maybe stop, get control of my emotions, and say those things which are fitting, not which are damaging. That's why, you know, you've heard people talk about that you got two ears so that you need to listen twice as much as you speak. Okay? And that's a good way of looking at it, because we are to be listeners first, then we can talk. You've heard the saying, better to be silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Well, that's the idea. We are, you know, there's going to be times when people might think, well, why is he not saying something? Why is she not saying something? Well, because sometimes the best thing to do is to be quiet. And then we can think about the proper thing to say. Turn with me, if you would, to the third chapter of James. In the third chapter of James, verses 6 through 12, James once again talks about the danger of the tongue. And he says, "And the tongue is a fire, world of iniquity. Indeed, we put, if anyone does not stumble in word or deed, he is a perfect man, but able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put it, bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at also the ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member that boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles." And I've read some of those verses previously to 6. "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. How many people have you seen in your lifetime that maybe have been a good person? Maybe they've been one that really seems to be an upright individual, but then they just cut loose one day and say things and it just costs them everything. Because once it comes out, can you take it back? No. That's why it's so important that our speech be controlled. Let us make sure that what we are saying is what God would approve of. And turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. Now, I don't think we have to go into great detail about what corrupt communication is, do we? We know what that is. Gossip, slander, just putting down people. Cuss words. All these things are not good, but corrupt. If we're going to be the example we should be, our speech is not going to be filled with this corrupt type of activity. And once again, it doesn't matter who we are, how old we are, how young we are, all of us can be good examples in our speech. There's another thing. In encouragement and edification, I don't know about you, but there's been many a times in my life where I've had a really bad day. And someone might come up to me and say some word of encouragement. How does that make you feel? Did the day just get better because we heard something of an encouragement to each other? Turn with me, if you would, to Acts the 4th chapter, verses 36 and 37. We have an individual mentioned in the scriptures who was known for his encouragement. That man is Barnabas. Acts 4, verses 36 and 37. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. His name meant son of encouragement. He didn't tear down people, he built them up. Turn with me, if you would, to the 11th chapter, verses 22 and 23. Once again, it talks about his work of encouragement. It said, it was verse 22. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Barnabas understood the importance of encouragement. How important is encouragement in today's society that we live in? There's a lot of frustration going around. We have to encourage one another, and we can all be good examples in encouragement. You know, one of the best ways we can be an encouragement is just be here, right? Be here to assemble with our brethren, to worship God, to praise God. Barnabas was an encourager. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, verses 17 and 18, there's a couple more individuals mentioned, and they are mentioned because of the way they encouraged Paul. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. For what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refresh my spirit in yours, therefore acknowledge such men. They refreshed Paul. They encouraged him. We know what the Apostle Paul went through in his life. We know the persecution that he undertook because of preaching the gospel. And these individuals, listed specifically by Paul, were an encouragement to him. But also, if you would turn to the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 7. You know, we talk about this chapter as the chapter of love, which it is. And it talks about the importance of love. But let's read verses 1 through 7 and ask yourself, if I'm showing love in my encouragement and my edification of each other. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. When we have that proper love for each other, we're going to be encouraging one another, right? This should be the highlight of our week, assembling with each other, should it not? Because we have individuals, we have brothers and sisters in Christ who have the same goal, who understand the same things that we're going through, and we want to help each other to get there. All of us can be a good example in encouragement and edification. And then finally, in worship. Sometimes people say, well, I can't lead singing, or I can't, you know, lead the Lord's Supper, or give a lesson or whatever. But all of us can be an example in the worship. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So how are we, what are we doing when we sing? We're teaching, admonishing, building up one another. Can all of us do that? Yeah. I think I've told you before, but I'll tell you again. There was two individuals, these brothers, when I grew up. And the one, as far as if you would ask, does he have a great singing voice? He didn't. But when it was time to sing praises to God, he was probably the loudest person there singing, because his heart was filled with joy that he could praise God and he could help build up one another. And me as a child, that made a big impression on me. It doesn't matter how good our singing voice is. I enjoy hearing good singing voices. But I also understand that we are worshiping God in song, and how beautiful it is to hear voices raised in praise to God. All of us can do that. Ephesians 5:19 is the same idea, that we are teaching and admonishing one another. We sing unto the Lord. We're speaking to one another. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. Now this chapter is talking about the problem that the Corinthians were having, and that they were using their spiritual gifts in an improper way. They weren't doing it for edification. They were all in a mess as far as how they were not doing it in decent and in order. And then Paul says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Okay, when we sing, there are two parts to it. Our heart has to be involved in both. One, we're singing with the Spirit. We don't sing like this. And I'm not talking about putting your head down. I'm just talking about the idea. Our body language tells us, all right? Ask yourself this. Have you seen people that will sing top 40 hits on the radio at the top of their voices, but then get in the worship service and they are like a little mouse as far as the sound of their voice. When we are singing, we pray. Once again, whose prayer is it whenever we pray in worship here? Is it just the person leading the prayer? No, it's all of ours prayer. And people can see if we're engaged in that, can they not? And I know most of us have our eyes closed, don't get me wrong, when we're praying. But if you've ever been in the back and have seen individuals not acting the way they should in the worship services, it can be discouraging. But when we're singing with the understanding and the Spirit, we're praying with the understanding and the Spirit, we're being a good example to each other. And all of us can do that. Every one of us. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 23 through 26. When Paul was giving instructions to the church at Corinth regarding the Lord's Supper, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And then he talks about examining ourselves in the following verses. How can we be a good example during the Lord's Supper? Well, one, we show that we are thinking about what's going on. I'm not talking about in this congregation, but I've been in congregations where the Lord's Supper is given and people are just kind of, they could care less what's going on. We are remembering our Lord's death. And when we are giving the full focus on that we should, we're going to be a good example to one another. Turn with me, if you would, finally, to Acts the 17th chapter, verses 10 through 13. "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men." Why were the Bereans praised so much? Because they searched the scriptures. Now, one of the things that we can do while the worship's going on is we can follow along, right? We can follow along in God's word. There might be verses that we could recite by heart. But you know what? The person given the lesson sees you engaged, knows that you're following along. It really helps him. But it helps each other because it constantly reminds us of what these passages are talking about to us. Not only in the worship, but afterwards, we meditate on them. The Bereans didn't just take Paul's word for it. Imagine, the Apostle Paul. And yet they didn't take his word for it. They searched the scriptures. And all of us can do that. All of us can be engaged that way. So as we think about ourselves, in 2021, I want us all to think about that I will, not I can be a good example, I will be a good example. Because I can teach people with my life, with how I conduct myself, in works, in speech, in encouragement and edification, and in the worship services. All of us are important. All of us are part of the family of God. And all of us can be good examples and help one another. I hope this lesson has helped you. I hope it's encouraged you. That is what it's meant to do, to encourage us and to ask ourselves, to be honest with ourselves and make, you know, if we see we've been lacking in something, make correction and be better at it so that we might let our light shine through our example. Tonight we want to offer the Lord's invitation to any who are subject to it. Jesus died for each one of us. He died so that we could have the hope of eternal life. Everyone here has been baptized into the body of Christ. If you are in need of prayers of the congregation, maybe there's just something that is heavy on your mind, or maybe something that you've done that you're sorry for, we'd be happy to help you out with that. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.
I heard the voice of Jesus.